Let us pray. Father God, we pray that you'll help us today to learn more of you, more of the love that's shining through this church, Lord. Amen. Now, for those of you who love to know how come the two passages get together, particularly for the people on the preaching team, the readings we've got at the moment are out of the lectionary. At certain times of year, the church recommends which readings. So anybody thinking Nick decided he fancied giving me a challenge, actually Nick hasn't chosen the readings. But they do sound interesting. You've got Paul on one hand and Joseph on the other. Where's the connection? Well, there is actually a connection. But before I get to it, I'm going to ask you all a question. I'm not expecting an answer, just think about it. What is the hardest thing you believe God has asked you to do? Now, I see a lot of puzzled things, faces. Through life, we'll be faced with challenges. What is our natural response? Is it to seek God for his help or solve it in our own strength? The good thing is, even when we go off on the wrong track and try and solve everything ourselves, God is still there giving us his strength. And Paul knew the meaning of that very much so. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, maybe like me, you can't easily think about the hardest thing that God has ever asked you to do. Or maybe like me, it was something I had this week. Yes, God was in the background, but it was actually ring a friend. See whether the friend agrees with the point of action I was going to take, because I wasn't quite sure which way to go. You've probably found something recently that you found tough. There's perhaps that conversation you didn't know how to start. God was with you. Or something else. I recall going back to our harvest meal. I was feeling a bit stressed about something, so I quickly went out of church and went for a walk round the block. While I was out there, I saw gardening somebody, and still sadly isn't, but hadn't been to church for some time. Their back was to me, and the easiest thing for me, particularly considering how I was feeling, was to carry on walking, because actually I was on the other side of the road. I wasn't on the side of the road they were gardening on. So it's easy, isn't it? Let's just carry on. But actually, I really felt God saying, no, you've got to cross the road and start a conversation. I actually, despite the fact I'm somebody who stands at the front, don't find that situation that easy. Although thankfully God had given me the garden and some weeds, and I knew all about gardening. So God will help us when our times are tough. He may just give us something that helps us through to find the way forward. Now, so, yes, I crossed the road and I chatted to the person concerned. You might ask, why am I asking this question? Started with Joseph and Paul a couple of minutes ago, and I've not even got to them yet, have I? Well, God calls us all to do unexpected things at times, and we need to be ready to say yes and trust he'll help us through. Both Paul and Joseph were faced with difficult challenges. I doubt we'll ever be faced with challenges quite that difficult. Paul, a learned Jew, had been a fierce persecutor of Jews who were converting to Christianity. Yet, on one of his trips, the day he was going down to Damascus, God stopped him in his tracks. And as we've seen in Romans, called him to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. In saying yes to God, Paul would have known he was facing many risks. He was facing rejection from all sides. He'd be rejected by those he used to mix with, the Jewish leaders, and face persecution himself. But actually, was it going to be that easy to become a Christian? why should the Christians believe him? If he wants to catch the Christians, what would be the best way of getting a group of them together? Telling them, hey, mates, I'm a Christian now. Everybody meets together. And then he says, no, I'm not really. I mean, it's understandable that Ananias had to have a bit of persuasion from God to go and visit Paul. So Paul was facing rejection from all sides. But thankfully, God does step in, assures Ananias of Paul's conversion. So now let's look at Joseph. Paul was a learned man, and find out a Roman citizen, so he had status, both amongst the Jews and the Romans. Joseph was a carpenter. From some of his genealogy, as can be found in Matthew, his family tree could admittedly be traced back to David. In Luke, we find that as part of the Roman census, Mary and Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because Joseph belonged to the house and line of David. This detail leads us to draw some conclusions, especially when we come and look at the calling of Nathanael. And the conclusion I'm linking it to isn't to his relationship with David, but the fact that he'd come from the town of Nazareth. What do we know of Nazareth? Well, when Nathanael's brother goes and tells him he's found Jesus and who he believes Jesus is, Nathanael's immediate response is, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nazareth was clearly a town not respected by Jewish circles. But Joseph may have been there because Nazareth was close to several trading routes, and one could imagine a good place for a carpenter to be. However, when Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to the temple in his first few days, they presented a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Sounds good, doesn't it? But if you go back to the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, you will find that the presentation of a dove or pigeons was permissible for those who could not afford a lamb. So, Joseph is good with his hands. Paul is obviously intellectual. Paul seems to be from a good line. You could say Joseph was. But Joseph was not rich. And I would imagine Paul may well have been, although, you know, he's a tent maker. But little information we have about Joseph, we conclude that when God calls him to take risks, he's from a different class. Well, that's what I was concluding by the fact Paul was a Roman citizen. God doesn't limit his call to those with status, but calls all of us. When God calls us, he is there, trusting we will listen and respond. Joseph, in responding to God, had to make a U-turn. Joseph was aware that Mary was pregnant, and he was going to do what would have been the correct thing of the day, and yet, as graciously as he could. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, this creates a bit of confusion because, hang on, husband, but they're not yet married. I will come to that in a minute. It wouldn't have been the done thing to marry a young girl who, from Joseph's perspective, had been unfaithful to him. How could that marriage ever have been one of trust? If Mary had let Joseph down once, how could he trust that she wouldn't do it again? Now, going back to this debate on, hang on, is he married or isn't he married if he's going to divorce her? Our engagements, Jeremy's looking attentively at me. So when Jeremy and Linda got engaged, you didn't have to sign a piece of paper, did you? It wasn't legal, it was just an agreement between the two of you. But it was much more legal in those days. The only way you could break an engagement was by going through the court of law. It was like a partway movement. So Joseph was faced with, he could go and divorce Mary quietly. Well, he would hope it was quiet, but you can imagine the rumour mills. So place yourself in Joseph's predicament. What would you have thought if, having made the decision to divorce Mary, you suddenly had a dream not to? Confusing, to say the least. On would you have pondered also on what the angel meant by, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Now, all that's recorded in the account from Matthew is that when Joseph woke, he did what the angels said. Why would you do that? You know, you wake up and you have a dream. Would you probably be thinking, is this really true? Joseph must have had a God-given and very strong God-given inner conviction that was so strong that he knew the dream was from God. And as odd as it might have appeared, that he should marry Mary. To do this, Joseph needed to have been alert to the angel and ready to trust God in what he did. Joseph had to listen and respond to make the U-turn. He had to trust in God. Paul, in responding to his calling, declares in writing to Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. One thing Joseph had in common with Paul was that they were both devout Jews, as we can see by the way Jesus was taken up as a baby to the temple to be presented to God, for this was set down in the Jewish law. I would reflect that Joseph, like Paul, would thank God for giving him the strength to respond, and would also thank God that he was trustworthy to be Mary's husband. Now, Joseph would have been well aware of the Jewish scriptures, and in Isaiah we read, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So we find that Joseph heard God through his angel, willing to respond, trust, and place his hope in God, a hope that he was making the right decision and that God would be with him. Just think of some of the risks that Joseph was taking. By the way, Luke says that Joseph in his plans to marry didn't want to dispose her to public disgrace. Then Joseph was risking his reputation. If it had come out that Mary was pregnant before Joseph was married, either the Jews would disregard him, accusing him of misusing Mary, or, because he'd done something that they wouldn't understand, still not approve of him for having married Mary, who'd clearly done something wrong by getting pregnant. Joseph, in responding to God, had to put God first and not worry about what others might think. Or, I put myself back in those feet after I'd written that sentence and I thought, not worry. Or perhaps he did worry, but knew that God would give him the strength to respond to the call God had given him, recognising, as Paul did, that God's grace is sufficient, for he gives us his strength in our weaknesses. Joseph would have known the Jewish scriptures quite well, and the Psalms would often be used as part of worship in the synagogues and temple. He may well have known and trusted a verse that I find very encouraging from the Psalms. God's word is a lamp for our feet and a light to our path. Now, in response to today's sermon, we'll be singing the song My Lighthouse. And this, to me, expresses the words of that psalm. Putting God's word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The words are declared from the psalm in the context of times of trouble, but recognising that God would help the psalmist stay on the straight and narrow. I see that Joseph would have been able to join in with us with the words of the song we will sing. In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea. So would we be able to join in with both Paul and Joseph and be ready to hear how God is calling us and be prepared to follow his call, whatever the risk? Are we ready to hear God's calling and to know, as Paul prays for the Colossians, the knowledge of God's will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may have a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Let us remember that in responding to God's calling, he gives us his Spirit to be with us. We aren't walking the path by ourselves. That as the Jews would have used the Psalms in praise and worship to remind themselves of all God has done, that God's word is a lamp to our path, lamp to our feet, and a lamp, light to our path. That God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Let us pray. Father, you will place us in place of challenge like you did with Joseph and Paul. May we, like them, be obedient and follow the way you're calling. Help us to be ready to hear, trust, and go with you, Lord. Amen.